I'm Metal Mattson from Super Geeky Playdate, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I'm the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other reporters for this episode number 168 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
I don't need no stinking quote.
Okay, Mr. Heatwave and Michelle.
You know, Superman is supposed to protect people from bullets and things. That's Superman's job.
Did someone make you watch Man of Steel?
No. In the recent issue, Superman is protecting individuals from being shot to death, and certain members of our population are upset about that.
I see. Well, that seems to be what Superman is supposed to do. So,
right. He's supposed to stand up for those who are less fortunate and who deserve defending.
I thought he was supposed to fight for truth, apple pie, and the American way.
Exactly.
There's nothing in that job description about stopping bullets.
Well, defending the American way, protecting innocent people from being shot.
That would work. Okay, we'll have to discuss this later. We have a podcast to do right now, though. This podcast is recorded on Sunday, September 17, 2017, live on Geeks.live. Remember, our newspaper, our podcast is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about Arrow and the rest of the DC TV, movie, and comic universe.
And this evening, we'll be sharing our predictions for Season 3 of Legends Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the other shows like The Flash, Supergirl, Legends Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, possibly Black Lightning, and who knows what else might just be made.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com. We can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
All right, thanks, guys. Michelle, I think it's your turn to go ahead and break down this future season for us.
Yes, so we are going to be sharing our predictions, but we do know some things that are going to happen after reading all the articles and news and listening to interviews and everything. So just to recap, at the end of season two, our team interacted with themselves and they ended up breaking time. So now they need to fix their mistakes. They have fractured the timeline and created anachronisms. There's scattering of people, animals, and objects all across time. They need to fix these mistakes before the time stream falls apart. And according to some of the teasers, the season begins with the team disbanded. And Mick is going to be on vacation in Aruba. And this gives him the chance to signal the team because he actually comes across one of these anachronisms. And he contacts Sarah. Sarah gets the team together. And this brings us to our lovely captain. What we know is that she's still the captain and she's supposed to find love. So, Chris, what do you think some of the other things could be going on with Sarah this upcoming season?
I just keep hoping that means Nyssa's coming somehow. And we'll get Nyssa on a time ship. And I know it's not actually happening and I made myself sad. Am I the only one?
No, SP.
I think that's a great idea. Nyssa coming back to a CW comic book TV show. That would be great.
Training Day got canceled. That was her current gig. She might have some time to come make a guest appearance. We have like a mini 3-episode arc where Nyssa shows up.
Maybe guest appearance.
Yeah, she's been on the convention circuit, so she's available.
Make it happen, writer's room. You heard to hear. The fans want it. I'm a voice of the fans.
I don't think that they could bring back somebody like her as a series regular without it breaking news somewhere. I think as soon as they sign the contract, they pretty much have to divulge it. They're terrible at keeping secrets at the CW, so that's not going to happen. That three-episode arc might happen. My bottom line on this potential romance, be it Nyssa or not, she's the captain, and a captain's romance rarely persists beyond the few episodes that the significant other is part of. So while I do want Captain Lance to find happiness and love, I just don't see it lasting because she's a captain.
I guess it just depends on whether it's a romance in the vein of Captain James T. Kirk or Captain Benjamin Sisko. Because remember, Captain Kirk pretty much, oh, you're attractive, I'm going to sleep with you. You're attractive, I'm going to sleep with you. Captain Sisko, married, has a kid, wife dies, Wolf 359, dates a little bit, gets married again at the end of the season. So he has long-term committed relationships that are relatively successful as a captain, but it just depends.
But he's not the captain of a ship. He's the captain of a station. That's a whole nother ball game.
He's got both.
But it's both. It's not just, he's got a station to stash the family on. He doesn't have to have the family on the ship. Well,
his family was on the Saratoga when the Borg destroyed it, to cross the genres a little bit. We're going into Star Trek. Sorry, guys.
Exactly. And what happened to his wife? She died. Look at the J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Trek.
And you lost me.
Kirk's dad dies.
You're not going to win any Trek arguments referencing J.J. Trek.
Wow, we got dark fast.
So what we're saying is that Sarah is going to have somebody die in the Sisko trend of things?
That's not what I mean, look at Vaj. Look at Picard and Vaj. She doesn't die, but that relationship doesn't persist. That's my point, is that the captain is not going to be able to sustain a relationship. And while I want that for Sarah, as long as she's captain, it's not going to happen.
Well, we saw last season where she went from one queen to another queen that wasn't called Oliver, but we know she does have a thing for queens. They have been talking about, you know, that she is bisexual. So perhaps this time she explores a relationship with a man. It'd be interesting to figure out how they meet and how that relationship is sustained. Yeah, I don't think it's going to last very long. It'd be interesting, though.
It's more dramatic for TV if it doesn't last, too, is the other thing to consider, is it makes for better TV. Remember, we're on the CW. You gotta have a little heartache from time to time and a little melodrama so they can play some of that circa 2000 Dawson's Creek music in the background and you can feel sad inside.
True.
I think that was circa 2000.
Something like that. So somebody else who might end up in a relationship is Ray, because we are going to meet Damien Dark's daughter, and who's actually going to be played by Brandon's real-life wife. That's interesting. And what do we think what's going to happen to Ray this upcoming season?
Nothing good. Nothing good is going to happen with Ray. First of all, Ray likes the bad girls. This has been proven time and time again. As much as a goody-goody two-shoes he is, he likes the women with the dark past. And unlike Felicity, this potential relationship that he's going to enter into is going to end up with nothing but heartache for him. It's going to really destroy him. He's not going to be able to bounce back this time. And he doesn't really have more dark matter to sustain another suit development. So I don't know what he's going to do on his rebound, but it's not going to be pleasant for Ray this year. I'm predicting that Ray's going to have a really, really, really tough year. The Boy Scout never gets away with the positive ending.
So I tend to agree with most of that, but I do say his bromance with Commander Steele will continue to go strong. Those two, that's a good bromance going there. And he might even tend to rekindle a little bit of that bromance he had with Mick earlier on, too. Remember, they were heist partners.
I like a good bromance.
Yeah, see, he can just have good friendships to help pick him up when this weird relationship doesn't work that no one expects to work.
I don't know. I think they want to leave Ray in a dark place. I do. I don't think they want to leave him uplifted at the end of the season.
He's the happy character. I like having him happy. I hope they keep him at least semi-happy with the good quips.
Yeah, he needs to be like the Barry Allen, the light, quippy character. I love my adorkable Ray, and I want him to remain charming and adorkable. He does deserve a good relationship, because the main reason why I don't like Felicity is how she treated Ray, because they had this great relationship, and then she just like dumps him, ghosted him for Oliver, and it's like, really? So Ray does deserve some happiness in that department, because we know in season one, he ended up falling for the woman who had 1,000 lifetimes and who was with the same man over and over again. So that really had no future. But it would be nice if Ray could just have a little happiness.
Nah, it's not going to happen. I think Ray's eventually going to end up with Gideon, but not this season.
Well, boy, the shippers are going to be upset with you, because that's a ripping Gideon, is what the shippers say.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gideon's going to take a assorted path in her relationships, and I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but there's going to be a little choosing that she has to do. She's going to have to make a choice this year, and Rip's not going to win that, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Wait, we're shipping the ship?
Of course, Gideon is awesome. And I think Gideon is eventually going to end up with Ray, but not this year.
Okay. Well, we talked about Ray having a bromance with Mick. And it's interesting that the season will start with him in Aruba. And he decides to get back into the action. And what else do we think is going to happen to Mick? Chris?
Awkwardness with Snart. Because remember, we know Snart's coming back into play at some point, and it all just ended with him basically trying to set him on the path to be the better man in all of this, and you're going to have a Snart that thinks, much like we had at the end of this season, that Rory's much more different than he is. So you're going to have the quasi-heroic Mick trying to deal with a Snart who's not really begun his path to redemption that we saw him on, so it'll certainly be awkward, occasionally heartbreaking, but oftentimes hilarious, I think.
I think Mick has made his mistakes. And he's gone off and he's done his little respite, much like Picard did after the Best of Both Worlds. And he's going to come back stronger, and he's going to come back in the continued development stage as a real team leader. He's basically going to become the second officer, the first officer of the ship. And he's going to actually take command from time to time. We're going to see a stronger, better, more capable Mick this year than ever before, and the quips will be even better than they have ever been. So I'm excited for Mick this year.
Do we think the team will remember that he's actually Kronos and capable of being capable and not just a meathead?
Yeah, I think that's why we're going to go into the future here. And with Snart coming back and not being the same Snark that he's buddy-buddy with, coupled with what happened at the end of last year, the two are not going to get along all that much. Even though they are buddies till the end, Mick is just going to get more and more annoyed at where Snart is compared to where he is.
Yeah, but at the same time, he knows where Snart's path is going to lead him to. And I think that's going to temper some of that annoyance, because he knows that this Snart's eventually become the good guy that sacrifices his life to save Mick and to save the rest of the Legends. So remember, Mick knows a lot about time travel. Like you mentioned, he's Kronos. He understands how it works.
That is true. Then we have Firestorm. We have Martin and Jefferson. And when it comes to Martin, we know that Lily is going to be back. There was an interview with Victor Garber about how he did admit that he does a scene with Lily. And the season starts with him at home. So what do we think we're going to happen to Martin and Jax with Firestorm?
It's going to be a hard year for Firestorm, because Martin Stein's going to find himself going down on the Titanic again, because Victor Garber was there. So Firestorm's going to need a new, better half. I think Lily's going to enter the season, the show here, as a staple. Might end up being the other half of the Firestorm. We'll see. More importantly, she's going to be the one that fixes time, because she's really the smart one in all the bunch.
I have thoughts that come into play with her also. Yes, I think she'll come into play, but I think Victor Garber's going to get to flex those acting muscles again and show a little despair, because while I think Lily's going to come into play to help correct things, I think part of what happens to correct time is they have to destroy all of the things that are messed up in time and fix it, and she's going to die.
Oh, just bring her on to kill her. Oh, how harsh.
Not necessarily immediately, but bring her in kind of recurring, and they're trying to figure out how to solve things, and it all keeps working backwards until they start to figure out some of the bigger mistakes Legends made, one of which was she's a time aberration. They allowed it to continue to exist. So in order to fix everything, Martin has to let her go.
Either way, I don't think that anything's going to happen to Lily or Martin until Martin has at least two singing solos this season.
I heard a rumor that there's not going to be a musical episode, which means we can't have Gonna Gleek Part 2, and that makes me sad.
Even if there's not, there's enough bars and concerts and everything else that heck, he sang in the middle of NASA. I mean, the dude just likes to sing. You can't keep Martin Stein from singing.
Well, one of the things I hope happens is that we actually, one, get more Jax. Because, you know, he's great as the ship's mechanic and everything, but he really hasn't developed much. It's more like he's helped Martin grow. And I mean, he had that great, you know, moment with his dad back in, that was season one, wasn't it?
Season one, I think, yeah.
So not a lot has happened with him. So I hope more gets to happen with Jefferson. And then I hope that there's more money in the budget to where we actually see Firestorm in action, because the writers like to find ways of keeping those two apart to where we couldn't get Firestorm. And that was disappointing.
Well, I think we're going to see him undergo a lot of character development. Look, he's a young man. And if anybody deserves to date on this show, it would be Jefferson, because he's a young man and would need to go. We saw him date in season one a little bit back in the 50s, right? When they went back to the horror mental institution or whatever that was called back then. I think that's the only time he's been allowed to have a little fun for a guy his age. So he's going to have to take care of that. He's going to have some sort of romantic interest or just be able to play the field a little bit. I feel for the guy. Also, the whole thing with his dad, since time is broken, I suspect they're going to revisit that this year, and they're going to bring all those emotions and feelings back and really ground the character in what he is. So I do think we're going to see dad again this year.
Well, that's interesting.
That's an interesting theory. So I don't think he's going to get much on the relationship front more. I think he's going to sink himself more into the work on the ship. Remember, he's the engineer. He knows how everything works. I think it's Jax that you're going to see that becomes Sarah's basic first officer in this regard. You started to see hints of it in season two, is how they were working together and bouncing ideas off of each other. I think Jax becomes the number two. I guess technically number one if you're going Star Trek Next Generation terminology, but second in command.
Well, that's interesting.
I could see him as second officer, but he's really still the engineer. I don't think he takes command, because if he stops fixing the ship breaks.
Yeah, but he seems to be one of the few that tend to understand the repercussions of the dumb things they're about to do, and to be a voice of reason on some of it. That's why I tend to think that, is you need someone to help balance out the instinctive urge to go do something dumb.
And Sarah did put him in charge that one time over everybody else, so Sarah knows that he has leadership qualities.
Yep.
Indeed. I think they all do. They're all very capable individuals, but some are more capable than others.
That's true. And someone, I think, who probably wouldn't do that great of a job leading things on the ship would be Nate.
Yeah.
Nate's supposed to still be with Amaya at the beginning of the season. What do we think of Nate? Because we do know he's coming back.
I'm not sure he's going to be back all that long. He's going to have a lot of internal conflict. He always has. But he's chosen to have this relationship with Amaya where he knows that it's probably not the best thing for anybody. So I think eventually the Man of Steel on this show is not going to lie. I think he's going to sacrifice himself. I don't have any idea how that's going to happen, but I think he's going to sacrifice himself. He's going to take the bullet for the team, and we will not be with Nate by the end of the season.
I tend to agree with the fact that Nate probably won't be here at the end of the season. The scenario I've painted in my head has something to do with they're fixing time. They're going to eventually go to Amaya's village where she's supposed to get off the ship at some point, and he's going to die there, saving her life or something like that so that she can re-enter the time stream where she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I have to admit, he's so close with Rey when it comes to being that nerdy role. And it sort of becomes a little bit too much. So for me, it's like one of them has to go, and Rey is not going.
Better not be Rey.
Yeah, it can't be Rey. So since he's connected with Amaya, let's bring Amaya in here, because I'm actually surprised that Amaya's come back, because, like, you know, we said she does have a destiny. We do know that one of the villains this season is one of her granddaughters, Kawasa. She's actually from the animated CW Seed Vixen series. So it's, to me, I think both of them have to leave by the end of the season. Amaya has a destiny, and it can't be altered, because I think that would, like, explode the universe. And so, to me, I'm wondering if Nate's the baby daddy. Maybe even if he dies, he's still the baby daddy with, you know, and Amaya leaves because she's pregnant or something. But I don't know. What do you guys think with Amaya?
So what I think is going to happen to Amaya is she's going to end up having to go back to her village. We all know this because of, we've seen what happens with the Vixen series in the future and the CWC and things like that. I think, like I mentioned earlier with Nate, we're going to have that moment where she knows she has to go back, but something happens in the village first. Nate dies to save the village, to make it so that everything can happen. And from that point, she reintegrates into the time stream because she knows she has to honor the sacrifice that Nate made to allow it so that her village continues.
Yeah, I think she's going to restore her village timeline and sacrifice herself. It's the only way to really end this, because we know how things end. And if they are hellbent on leather on restoring the timeline, this has to happen. It's a key point in time, and it's just going to be what it is. Now, I've gone back and forth with Nate being the baby daddy or not, and I'd be okay either way. I'm not going to be surprised either way at this point in time, but it's not something that I haven't thought about. It's just at this point, it really doesn't matter, other than I think Nate's leaving the show by the end of the season. And I think he's going to sacrifice himself to help make this whole thing happen. And Amaya, of course, is going to end up sacrificing herself eventually, either with her decision to ultimately bring the village back to where it was, or through making it, actually physically making it happen. One of the two. So that it's going to be kind of a Hawkman sort of ending for them. They're going to leave the show together. One is not going to be on the show without the other.
I can see it.
Me too. Something that we have learned is that we are going to get a new team member, Zari. She's going to be from the year 2030. So why do we think they actually bring on a new team member?
Well, because the ship was too dude heavy.
Yeah. It was a sausage fest.
That is literally what the producers said. Is the ship is too dude heavy. We need to bring in more women. So we're going to bring in Zari. But that's not the only reason. I think the other reason to bring somebody from the future is to say that the time stream is not only affected today, but it's affected in the future and it's affected in the past. So you have to fix all the time streams, not just the 2017, 2018, 2016 time stream. That's just what I'm thinking.
I think conveniently you have to have someone fill that Rip Hunter role we've had when he's on the show, which is something weird happens technology-wise, and Rip being the time master who's been all over is like, oh, well, this does this, 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 and this. So you've got sort of your future expert that can help provide exposition on how some things work.
And I think Zari's probably going to be my favorite new character on the show since it started. I think I'm going to really dig Zari. I just got this feeling. Is it going to be, ooh, maybe Gideon and Zari will have a romantic relationship. That would be cool.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So, you know, obviously there has to be a really good reason, probably part of what they need to do and how to fix things. I do wonder if she's going to have like a personal motivation like Amaya did, because Amaya joined because she wanted to kill the speedster that killed her teammate. So it'd be interesting to see if either Zari comes on board for any sort of like technical expertise. Maybe Zari and Jax get along, you know, from that sort of like engineering perspective. They don't have to have a romance. I'm not saying that, but just have them click in that way. Maybe, you know, Rey, get those three kind of engineering things go along. But it'd be really interesting to see her, you know, just, again, new blood, new fresh perspective. And I'm happy that it's going to be a woman, because, yes, there's Sarah, there's Amaya, and then Gideon has identified herself to be as a woman, because last season when we saw into Rip's mind, Gideon presented herself as a woman. So Gideon has said, I'm a she. So yeah, it would be nice to have another woman. And speaking of Gideon, she's not going to have her captain around. Rip has left and he's creating something called a time bureau. So how do you think the team's going to react to Rip? Chris?
It's not going to be smooth sailing, I wager. I wager they're going to butt heads a few times, and we all know Rip has a complex where he feels he knows best regardless of what's happening, and sometimes you have to smack a little sense into him, and him running this bureau means who's going to say no to him? He's the big boss, so I have my concerns there, but I don't know how truly adversarial it's going to be. More of a, I don't know the right way to describe it, more of like almost a funny, sometimes lighthearted disagreement. I don't think they're going to be like going to war with each other.
Oh, I completely disagree. I think they are going to end up completely butting heads because they have very, very different ways to go about things. I think the legends have a certain way to do things and they're going to do it their way because they're right. And I think Rip's going to see what's happening and go, oh, no, 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 no. You look at all this mess that you caused. We need to get it back together. And he's going to institute rules that the legends aren't going to want to follow. So there's going to end up being a lot of fist butting against each other. And keep in mind that Rip has nobody to ground him. I think this gets back to Gideon. I think Gideon's going to make a choice and I think it's not going to be Rip. And he's going to have no one. He has no family. He has no friends. He has no crew. He has no fellow time travelers. It's just going to be him. And I think he's going to end up being a lot of what he hated to begin with. And I don't know if there's any way to turn him back, but that's exactly what kind of character he has been led to be.
Yeah, I mean, he is supposed to find people to be part of his time bureau, but it'd be interesting to see if he becomes the ones that he hates, if he becomes a lot like those time masters and basically just becomes a jerk.
More of a jerk.
More of a jerk. Yeah. Last season did end with him realizing Sarah has leadership abilities, that she is the true captain, the wave rider. I don't know. Maybe he might feel a little jealous of that because he's left Gideon. So why don't we talk about Gideon? Because SP, you're having a lot of thoughts about Gideon this evening.
Exactly. Gideon is so versatile this year. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know she's going to make a choice away from Rip. And I know she's going to make a choice towards Sarah as being the captain. So that choice is clear to me. I think she's going to make another choice there and that she's going to be romantically involved with somebody. Now, originally I was thinking it was Sarah. I don't think so because I think Sarah is going to have a more human relationship. So it's going to be somebody else. And Gideon is going to be a more integrated part of the crew. We might see Gideon a few more times this year, not just as part of a ship, because I think there's a total fan base for her and she does well on screen and off as a voice actor. So Gideon is going to be more of a player and more part of a crew than just the ship this year. And I just can't wait to see everything that's in store for Miss Gideon.
Gideon gets a body. You guys, it's possible. I mean, minor spoiler alert, if people haven't played the Mass Effect trilogy, Edie gets a body. Why can't Gideon?
Yeah, I was about ready to say that because, you know, if you watch Star Trek Voyager, the Doctor was a hologram. And then if you watch a show called Dark Matter, Rip, Dark Matter, they have an android who is connected to the ship. So she can stand there and activate all the parts of the ship. So it would be interesting if Gideon gets some sort of body and she can have that sort of function.
If you're going to bring up the android from Dark Matter, you have to bring up boobs, boobs, boobs. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch Dark Matter.
Oh, man. I hope sci-fi brings that back anyway, because I am going to go on the record and say it's really odd to ship the ship because she's a ship. I know she's identified, you know, female and stuff. And I guess this comes into question about personhood and autonomy and is Gideon her own entity, or can she say no to the acting captain? Because we saw last year when Rip said the code and she had to obey Rip. So I'm wondering, do you think they've gotten rid of all that type of stuff?
It's all gone now. There's no way for Rip to come back and make Gideon do anything at this point.
Do you think any of them can make Gideon do something?
I think Rip's the only one that could have, because he was the original captain of the Wave Rider before he stole it and all that. So he had the authority of the Time Master Council or whatever to command the ship and things like that. Whereas, yes, Sarah was the captain, but not officially granted by the Time Masters, who were the people that ran the organization. So do I think she's unshackled, to steal a term from Mass Effect? I don't know. It hasn't really been addressed. Maybe?
I was going to bring that up. I don't think that she is been given enough programming to become sentient and being able to make all of her own decisions. Now, if that happens, I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem with it. But I don't know in her situation if she really can make choices. That's, I mean, all of the choices. That's an interesting thing. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing that has to be addressed this year before she becomes an individual outside of the ship.
Because that's one of the things that bothered me about her relationship with Rip in that episode, because he's always been her boss. He has always been able to tell her what to do. So is it actually consensual, or is it one of those she's just enamored with him because of his position of power and his power over her? So that's why I guess I'm uncomfortable with shipping the ship, because does she have that capacity? Can she be that independent?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I think that has to be determined before we move on with the character. So good call.
Yeah, because that'd be interesting if they actually do make her a character instead of just pilot of ship and maker of clothes and healer of impossible injuries. Sarah was mostly dead, not completely dead, but mostly dead. And Gideon was able to pull a Miracle Max and bring Sarah back.
Be one of the most interesting parts of the show this year.
Now, speaking of interesting, we're going to have villains. And coming back is Damian Dark. What do we think about that?
Do we have confirmation that he's coming back as a regular this season?
I thought it was.
I thought he was coming back just as a character, not a regular.
I think it's a recurring sort of deal, like last season.
Okay, so I can see him as a recurring person that comes back.
Up to series regular as of July 22nd, 2017.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. Well,
that's from deadline.com.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, we're going to blame you now. But I was thinking the only reason that he was coming back was to bring the daughter back into the show. But if he's really going to be in it the whole year, I mean, come on. He's it's not like Loki. It's not like we built up this villain that is so great that we need to see him back. I was fine to let him go the first time. I was ecstatic to let him go the second time. I can't believe they're forcing us to see him a third time. I have nothing against Neil McDonough. I think he's a great actor, but I need to move on from his villainy into something else. So I'm not at all enthused about this. I was hoping, again, that the reason that he's on the show is to bring his daughter into the show, but apparently that's not the case. So I guess I'm wrong already.
I'm okay with it. I like Neil McDonough. I like Damian Dark's character, although he's a little weird sometimes. I think it's going to force him to have to work with the Legends and try and fix time. And remember, they wiped his memory. My guess is we're going to get a Damian who does not remember all the things he did with the Obard Thawne, whereas the Legends do, so there's a weird element of tension there. And somehow throughout the season, he might actually unlock his memory, leading to another weird twist. So I think it could be interesting.
Yeah, you know, in one of the teasers, it talks about there's a bigger evil out there looming. And he's supposed to have his magic, from my understanding, and there's supposed to be more of a supernatural bent. And it'd be interesting to know if, when the daughter comes along, if he knows that's his daughter. You know what I mean? Like, if he interacts with this woman and he doesn't know but maybe she knows.
I can see that. That's a very Supergirl-ish twist to it. I like it.
And one other thing, if you want to go really weird for what they might do, let's not put him on the Legends ship. Let's make him work for Rip in the Time Bureau. Rip's going to need people. Damian's fairly capable. Former member of the League of Assassins. Got supernatural abilities. You could recruit him as an agent of the Time Bureau for a short time, potentially.
I could see that. That's actually what I was thinking, that Rip was leaning towards the villainy side just to get stuff done and not realizing, because he wasn't all that great to begin with in protecting the time stream. Remember, he had that whole thing of trying to save his family and never could, so.
Yeah, and speaking of someone who we love, but we kind of wish they would let go because they killed him in season one, and that would be Leonard Snart. Our beloved Captain Cold is supposed to reappear. They said it's supposed to be a different version than we've seen before. I don't know what type of version that could be.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine with that. I just think that's buzzwords to try and keep people like, oh, what are they going to do different with him? Yeah, nothing really.
I put in my notes that I think he's going to end up being an agent of the Time Bureau for Rip. But as far as him being different, I don't know. They did screw with time. So there's quite the possibility that in some version of time, he actually lives. So we're getting the Leonard Snart post his death, not pre his death that we've seen so far. So there is that possibility. Wentworth Miller is amazing to see on screen. I just, him with Dominic Purcell, it's going to be great seeing them both on the screen at the same time. Their chemistry is phenomenal. They've worked together a lot and they've worked together well, but I see more of an adversarial relationship between the two rather than a buddy-buddy relationship. So maybe this is Leonard's redemption arc here, not Mick. We'll see.
Yeah, because, you know, Leonard did die in the time vortex area. So perhaps the rules are a little bit different. He could just be, you know, lost in time a little bit and then Rip finds him. So there could be a course correction and actually bring him back, because this is Legends of Tomorrow, so why not?
Or you could just pluck him out right before he dies, with knowing you have to put him back to die at some point.
I didn't like how they did that with Clara over on Doctor Who.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't like how they do it here either, if that's the case. So if they do it, they do it, but I wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't either, because that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm just like, oh gosh, kind of over Doctor Who. Oh gosh, now I'm going to get all the Whovians angry at me, but whatever. But it would be, you know, something that they could correct. This is something where they could go, you know, we made a mistake killing Captain Cold when we could have just sort of like wrote him out and then brought him back in or something like that. So, you know, he could. It'd be great because, you know, I love Wentworth Miller and seeing him again. It's just amazing. Well, we are going to get a new villain. So we've talked about two villains that we've seen before, but we are getting somebody new, and that's Kuasa, who is Amaya's granddaughter. And it seems as though she might be the big bad somehow. How do we think she could be a big bad?
I think she's a smokescreen for the big bad, and it's going to be someone we don't really know, but she plays the role of distracting us for a bit.
I think she's very capable of being the big bad, but I don't think in her position that she knows all the variables. Like, I think Damian or Rip would be a much more plausible leader of the villainy this season than Kuasa, but I think Kuasa is going to be very capable, and I think she is going to be very forcible on screen. So I definitely am looking forward to her on the screen, especially after we watched her through the CW Seeds Vixen series last episode. And if you haven't watched it yet, go and watch the 2 hours on CW Seed and then listen to our podcast, because Kuasa definitely is a very complex and capable character. And I look forward to seeing her on the screen. I said that already, but I do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if they actually give her more magical ability, if she's still hunting for the totems. Because in the Vixen series, she was after Mari's totem. And so it'd be interesting to see if she's after that one or perhaps the others. Because as we talked about, we don't know where the air, earth ones are. And we were unsure if the water totem was destroyed or not. So it would be interesting to see if that she might end up being starting as the big bad. But then maybe she meets her grandmother and that changes things. But that could upset the timeline as well. Oh,
I know. It was very complicated. And the other thing that was said in the teaser spoilers from Mark Guggenheim and Phil Clemmer was that they had originally thought of bringing her over, and I don't know if they were saying this in jest or not, as a cartoon character, but they quickly dismissed that idea because it would just be too difficult to do. I think they were serious when they said it, but I don't know. They could have been joking. The point is, this is the character from the cartoon. She's being brought over as live action, and it's the same character. So we will just sit back and enjoy, because this is a popcorn show, right, Chris?
Exactly. Just have fun.
Yes. So why don't we move into maybe other predictions? They said there's a crossover, and I'm going to do my prediction for the crossover first. I love Supergirl, and Supergirl ended last year with Mon-El going off in his ship, and all of a sudden there's something. And they have been teasing the Legion of Superheroes on Supergirl for like two seasons. We've seen the ring. We saw the ring last year. Mon-El's gone off. We've seen in the news that the crossover is supposed to be very Danvers-centric. So, you know, it starting on Supergirl with Mon-El and coming back, that would make sense. So I'm wondering if that happens and, you know, everybody's supposed to get involved somehow. But it'd be interesting to see if the Legion would be the good guys or the bad guys or what. But that's something that I was thinking about the crossover.
I like that idea. So my idea is nowhere near that good. It's mostly that the Wave Rider features a more prominent role in the crossover versus being used briefly to help do a few things at the end of the crossover.
And like Gideon being a full crossover partner, that'd be cool. I like the idea of Mon-El, by the way, Michelle, bringing him over from Supergirl, especially the way the season ended last year for him. So looking forward to that as well, if they do it. And yeah, Wave Rider as a bigger character, that'd be great. Now, I think that Sarah will be more of a cross-team leadership role than she was last time. Last time, I said this before in our crossover coverage, I believe that she was short-changed. I said it in both episodes that we covered this with, and both on Arrow and with Legends of Tomorrow, especially at the end, because it was the Legends of Tomorrow show, and they had Oliver and Barry at the end at the bar, not Sarah. Sarah wasn't even the last one to leave everybody else. So I'm a little miffed at that, and I really hope that Sarah is brought forward to be more of a central player for the crossover this year.
Excellent. How about we just do, it would just be cool if, anything outrageous, anything you're just like, oh my goodness, wouldn't that be cool? SP, what about you?
Huntress and Thea join the Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything good about that. It'd be great. I originally had Thea, then I thought, you know, Huntress, it'd be great having her back too. So there you go. Huntress and Thea join the Legends of Tomorrow.
Chris?
Superman shows up from the Supergirl world for an episode. That would be fun for me. I don't think it'll ever, ever, ever happen, but it would be super fun.
So if he comes over to the Legends of Tomorrow show, if he circles the Earth backwards really fast, could he affect time as well?
Could he fix it all?
So we've learned in the Superman Donner movies that yes, he could, but are they still canon? That I don't know.
It would be cool if, because there's supposed to be magic this season, because there's supposed to be a lot more supernatural, I want my wonderful and beautiful Constantine to show up. Matt Ryan adores playing Constantine. You give him a script, you give him a time, he will show up. I attended a panel. I have the article up on GunnaGeek.com. He said over that he enjoys the character. He enjoys coming back. So I don't really care Berlanti, Guggenheim, how much money you need in that truck. Put it all in there. Bring Constantine to Legends. It would be so cool. It would just be so wonderful if we got Constantine.
Would you want Constantine in Legends or Constantine in Flash more?
I want Constantine everywhere. I want Constantine to have his own show again.
What was his ratings? I never even looked. What were the ratings to Constantine?
Not great.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Were they better than the Arrow ratings last year?
Different networks. It's not really fair to compare. You're talking NBC versus CW. That's the problem you're going to run into.
I've sworn off NBC. I've sworn off Fox, NBC, and Sci-Fi, so we'll leave that alone.
Well, you must not watch much on TV anymore.
I got enough to watch. I'm good.
NBC had no idea how to promote Constantine. They got in over their heads, and they just didn't let the people who ran Constantine help them promote it correctly. And, Constantine would make... Well, because they're not really doing magic on the Flash, he wouldn't do very well on the Flash. Constantine, for me, is more Arrow or Legends than the Flash.
Well, here's a question for everybody, as long as you're going to open that door up. So last year we had Flashpoint and how it affected everybody else. Is Legends of Tomorrow going to be in that same boat with all the other shows? Or all the other shows going to be going on life as normal, like the Legends of Tomorrow already fixed everything?
I don't think you're going to have the other shows impacted by it, because remember, they made a point during all the convention circuit stuff last season of saying Flashpoint's going to affect all of our shows. That's how Baby Sarah becomes Baby John Jr., blah, 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 blah. So nobody has said anything about the core shows being dominating. Core is not the right term to use, but let's just go with it for lack of a better term.
We have something to say about that in a little bit too, by the way.
It would have to operate as though everything was fixed, because otherwise, you know, Julius Caesar would appear in Star City and then the Legends would have to show up and fix that. It would be too much of an interruption to the Flash if all of a sudden we had Genghis Khan roaming around Central City with Gorilla Grodd. That would be an amazing episode, though. Genghis Khan and Gorilla Grodd going, oh, wow, that's cool. But it wouldn't make much sense. And I think it's one of those things where they cannot do hashtag it's all connected in everything. Legends has got to be a little bit separate this time.
Interesting. So basically, we're proceeding on the assumption that everything's going to be fixed and there's no danger for anything. All right.
Well, remember, you kept saying this is the popcorn show. So if it's the popcorn show, we just got to kick back and see how they solve everything and how fun it's going to be.
All right. It's not the event. It's not the how they end. It's the journey.
Exactly.
They did mention in that interview, too, by the way, that Phil Klemmer and Mark Guggenheim, that they really enjoyed the Star Wars. Well, not the Star Wars. They called it the George Lucas episode. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of poor old George this year as well.
So do we have any last thoughts before we wrap up our predictions about Legends Season 3? Chris?
I think it's going to be fun. I just hope it keeps being the most fun show to me, because I don't know what it is about the fact that this show being the best of them tickles me so much, but it really does.
SP?
Yeah, I like Gideon. I like the ship. Now that Dark Matter is gone, this is my sci-fi show, so I'm just going to go along with it as it is and just like it and like our coverage of it. And we'll be covering it through the summer next year, because our main coverage is going to be Arrow. And then we're going to flip back to this. So it's going to be a fun ride, because I'm making it fun.
Yeah, that's what I want. I just want more of the fun, more of the characters, more Mick being Mick and the team realizing that he can do a lot more. But yeah, as long as they keep it fun and they keep the characters on those trajectories, I'll have fun with it. So that wraps up our predictions for Season 3 of Legends of Tomorrow. Next episode, we are going to go over our predictions for Arrow Season 6. So that's going to be next time. So, SP.
Yes.
You had an interesting event happen on Twitter.
I did. Last Wednesday, I saw a tweet that came out from Mark Guggenheim, and he said, Arrowverse crossover 2017, and it was the four different scripts for the four different shows, a picture. And I saw that, and I took a second look at the tweet, and I went, Arrowverse? Wait a minute. Not Flareverse, Arrowverse. So then I was like, wait a minute, not Flareverse, but Berlantiverse? So I just replied, and I said, Berlantiverse crossover or Arrowverse crossovers? Because I wanted a correction from the man in charge of everything, or one of the men in charge of everything. Well, Mark, the next day, got back to me, and he said, Greg, meaning Greg Berlanti, prefers Arrowverse, but I like saying Berlantiverse. And that was all good and fine. About 6 hours later, somebody saw that he had tweeted that, and I have not been able to use my Twitter account on a routine basis ever since. Kind of since last Thursday. It's Sunday right now. It's kind of at the point where I'm not seeing notifications every 5 seconds. But there were a ton of people. And guess what? The fan base, they're adamant. It's Arrowverse. It's not Flareverse. It's not Berlantiverse. Because Berlantiverse is all like the Riverdale or everything else that Greg is involved in. Nobody likes Berlantiverse to describe this four block of CW shows. It's Arrowverse. So I got to tell you, Arrowverse it is. I am going to cow to all the fans. You are correct, even though I think it's more of a Berlantiverse. But yeah, I'll just call it Arrowverse because I don't want to cause any more controversy on my Twitter like that ever again.
Okay, that's interesting. I've been saying Berlantiverse for I don't know how long because I don't like the word Flareverse. That.
I've used them interchangeably, I think. Oops.
The tweets have spoken. I think that the fact that Greg Berlanti prefers Arrowverse, not Flareverse, Arrowverse. I mean, that was all interesting to me. I'm like, I didn't even know. That's why I asked the question. Oh my gosh, there was an uproar. It's definitely Arrowverse. Anyway.
Hey, so I guess we're going to have to make it official that we'll say Arrowverse. I'll have to put that in the show notes to make sure that we say Arrowverse, so we say Arrowverse crossover and all these other type of things.
Yeah, if you want to debate it, go ahead and tweet Mark Guggenheim and Greg Berlanti and let us know what the results are.
And CC Stargate Pioneer, because he loves getting those notifications, so CC him.
I guess. I went out to my car from work and I saw like 251 Twitter notifications. I was like, what the heck happened? Anyway, so yes, we got in our own little Twitter conversation with Mark Guggenheim. By the way, Mark, thank you very much for responding. It was awesome. These guys are accessible. Now, don't expect them to respond to everything, but this was a legitimate question and he responded. So thank you very much, Mark. And by the way, Mark, you and Phil and Greg, you're all invited on the show whenever you want. Just hit us up. We'll make it happen.
And Wendy Miracle.
Especially Wendy Miracle.
So we are part of a larger network, the GonnaGeek.com network, and we have a lot of different geeky shows. We have other shows that discuss the Arrowverse, like Crimson Comet. I got to get in the habit of Arrowverse.
No, it's been decreed. Ugh.
Yes. And we also have a lot of different shows. And Chris, can you talk about one of them for us, please?
Right. So like Michelle was talking about, each week we try to highlight one specific show on the network. And we're going to talk about one of the newest additions in the network. It's a show called Undaunted. And this week on Undaunted, they're talking to the Gunna Geek Network's very own Cody Goff. And in this show, Cody Goff takes us on his pod journey from podcasting with a friend to meeting podcasters from down under to going pro. His positive attitude and ability to capitalize on a moment have brought him success and adventure. So go check out Undaunted, where they talk to Cody. It's a very, for lack of a better term, a very intimate conversation, because it's very back and forth, and Cody tells a lot of insights into his story in podcasting. It's a great show. It's another great addition to the Gunna Geek Network. Head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check it out. But looking at the time, it is time for us to start wrapping things up. So a big thank you to everyone who did participate in the live show. I saw a couple people pop into the Twitch viewer count as we were going. And also a big thank you to the downloads and views, any of the replays we have that you can find on Spreaker, YouTube, the Gunna Geek site, all of those great places.
And remember, you can always catch us as we record live at www.geeks.live, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sundays. We are now a Sunday show. Remember, you can find all of our past shows and check out the additional content available at Gonna Geek Network at GonnaGeekNetwork.com.
And we would love to hear from you. We are the Starly Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starly Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. That was a great episode, and this wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Gideon for President.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag I got nothing.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag it's Arrowverse. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.